ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Well, I am skinny, but I'm no Aaron Calc. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports. Jared Athus sitting in the driver's seat this morning on a wonderful Friday. We're wrapping up the week with probably a little bit more talk about college football realignment, the ramifications of it all, and how it affects mainly OU and OSU is what I really want to focus on today. How you doing? I'm Jared Athus, and sitting in my seat, very graciously sitting in my seat, I'm very grateful to you, is Mr. Nathan Brewer.
Hey, everybody.
I thought I'd bring you in, and you know a little bit about sports and sports balls and hoops and nets and stuff.
I used to. I used to know a lot about it. No kidding. When I was 8, 10, 12 years old, that is all I cared about. That is all I did. If it was fall, football was my favorite sport. If you talk to me in, say, March, basketball is my favorite sport. If you talk to me in July, I love baseball. I was watching Dale Murphy and the Atlanta Braves on the Superstation every chance I could. Loved it.
We do have some breaking baseball news that just came across my phone about a minute before we went to air. We'll get to that, but first, let's get to business. Big thank you to everyone tuning on in. You want to be a part of the show, you can. 580-225-9698. You could call in. Or you could text in if you like. Mainly people like to text. A lot easier in some scenarios. Please don't text and drive. I don't say that enough when we tell people to text us. Because, you know, where are the majority of our listeners at?
In their car.
Yeah, yeah. Just do the talk to text thing. Hey, Siri, text 580-225-9698. Tell them they're dumb.
Tell Jared. Hey, Siri, text Jared. Jared, love the show. Why are you so skinny and Aaron's not, but they call him skinny? What's the deal?
It's a play on words. 580-225-9698. You know, they hear us up in Woodward, too. Thank you to our listeners up in Woodward, KSIW 98.1 FM.
Do you know who the pride of Moreland, Oklahoma is?
I know a lot of people from Moreland, actually.
There's a very important man.
I'll say a name. I wonder if he's listening because he works in Woodward. His name is Dusty. I won't say his last name.
Are there any Kendalls still in Moreland, Oklahoma?
Probably.
Joel Kendall.
Oh.
The pride of Moreland.
I didn't know that's where he was from.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Now, what's his official title over at Swazoo now?
Provost.
Provost. Right.
He's the number two.
Yes.
He's a big man on campus. He's a big man anywhere. He's just a big man.
He's a big man with a soft voice, but he's a great guy.
He is. And he's from, I think he's from the Moreland area. He's got his wife. I want to say he's from Leedy. Or he's got folks in Leedy, so way up north, yeah, you know Joel Kendall up there.
Yeah.
And they know their ball.
Oh, sure they do. They play some good football, baseball, basketball.
I saw the Woodward.
Bearcats.
I saw the Woodward bus somewhere the other day, and it says, here comes the boom.
Yeah.
On the front, and then I thought, oh, that must be the Woodward bus. And then I see, yeah, side of it, Woodward,
yep.
Boomers. There
the
you
boomers.
Go.
The Boomers. Big thank you to all our listeners up there. You know, speaking of Woodward and in Elk City and surrounding areas, we got football season coming up around the corner. You can watch the Elk City Elks this season, of course, like you couldn't in years past. BigElkTV.com. It just gets better and better and better each year. The production value. Our play-by-play guy is awesome. That is Aaron. The color guy is trying his best. That's me. And then our camera guy. You know, that is an unsung hero to our broadcast, especially obviously on BigElkTV.com. It's simulcast on Cool 94, our radio broadcast. But to see it as easy it is to watch it, that's because of the camera work by our man, Drew Cobb. I promise you, go to other broadcast and watch it. Okay. What do you take to avoid seasickness or motion sickness? What do you
Dramamine.
Yeah. You're going to have to take that in some cases when you watch other broadcasts, but you watch ours It's smooth sailing.
There's two ways to go wrong, I think, with high school sports and the camera work. Either you've got somebody who's just not used to it and they're all over the place and you're getting seasick.
Right.
And then there's the opposite end of the spectrum where there's obviously a manpower shortage. So they set up one camera on a wide shot.
And leave it.
And so you see the whole field, the whole game.
Or court. You know, we're not perfect. We're still figuring things out and figuring out the best way to make it viewer and listener friendly. And we are still learning things how to do it. But the number one thing when I came to Paragon, everybody was just starting with the video stuff. Yep. And I went to school and I was purely radio. You know, if I wanted to do TV, I would have went to J school and did TV stuff. But I was purely radio, right? So I was learning on the fly and am still learning, which is cool. You know, it's exciting because each day is new when you're learning stuff. But anyways, so we're still learning how to add different things. And my number one thing was we have to make this watchable and easy to watch. And Drew's done that.
He's really talented.
He's very talented. He will, if you tell him that, he'll laugh at you because he doesn't believe it himself. He's a very humble dude, but I'm telling you guys, you see Drew Cobb on the street, in the store, wherever, at the games, pat him on the back because we don't have a good broadcast without him.
That's right.
I just went on about 5-minute tangent right there about Drew Cobb, but well worth it.
Yeah.
But BigElkTV.com, that's coming up, my goodness, almost in a month.
I know. I heard
hosting Pampa, Texas.
I heard the Animals. I was listening to this station 98.1 yesterday, and I don't remember who was on, but they were talking about 2 weeks. There's the Hall of Fame game. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that quick. 2 weeks away from football, a game actually being played.
I think Hard Knocks premieres this coming week. Of course, they're following the Dallas Cowboys, so it's a lot of interest around here.
Yeah.
I mean, me, anyways. I'm admittedly and regretfully sometimes a Cowboy fan.
I grew up a huge Cowboys fan.
But I'm looking forward to that. And usually that's the unofficial start of football for me is when I start seeing the new episodes of Hard Knocks. And then the Hall of Fame game is just, whoa, I just got out of the pool. And now we're watching football. And then all of a sudden it's we're hitting the ground running.
Exciting time.
It's very exciting. And Elk City plays week zero against Pampa. We were looking, Nathan, at our schedule, the Elk City schedule. We're really kind of mapping it out. Mentally, basically, for me, it's mentally preparing. This is what we got to do this year. This is where we got to go as far as how do we set up? Have we been there before? Da, da, da. I planned that way ahead. I did the math of the miles that we'll travel to and from each road game.
Mm-hmm.
Just under 1,300 miles this season.
Oh, wow.
I will argue with anybody that they travel more. Elk City's traveling a lot this year.
Is there a Guymon game this year?
Yeah, that's a big chunk of it too. Two trips down to what is it, Comanche County, Cache and Elgin.
Yeah,
a little bit of a trek.
Yeah,
two trips to Oklahoma City, with going to Bethany and to Southeast.
Yeah,
which is played at Spiegel Stadium, I believe. So it's basically two trips to Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned the Guymon game. I know I'm missing one. And the shortest trip is Clinton. That's it.
By the way, aren't those nice for the Western Oklahoma 4A schools? Those really are nice road trips when you only have to go from Weatherford to Elk City or from Clinton to Elk City.
Yeah.
Or Clinton to Weatherford. That's great.
Right on
that can spoil you.
It's an easy jog.
That
yeah.
can spoil you.
Yeah. But this district, 4A1, has become so big.
Yeah.
When you have Cache, I'm going to top of my head without looking. Cache. Obviously, Elk City, Clinton, Weatherford, Cache, Elgin. There's Newcastle. There is Bethany. And I'm missing one more, and someone's screaming it at me. And it's probably a playoff team. I know it's not Woodward. I cannot remember who it is. But I remember in past it wasn't this big. But now it just seems, you know, and they're about, by the way, the OSSA is about to release the new ADM. Average daily membership. I forget what ADM. It's basically the attendance for each school, and that's what determines mm-hmm. your classification. They're going to delay it because I guess it was harder to count because of the COVID year.
Yeah.
How many kids you actually have in your school virtually plus, you know. So they're delaying it, and they will release new football districts for not this season, obviously, because that's set, but next season. So that could all change. I mean, who knows? I mean, Woodward is in 5A right now. Love to have Woodward back in 4A and in our district, because that was always a fun game, Elk City and Woodward. So
not a bad trip.
No, that's an easy trip.
Hour away.
That's really not bad. It's just straight shot up north.
And it's different because down here, folks up north are used to their thing. Down here, we're used to the east-west. There's a lot of east-west travel. Yeah. Not as much north, but going to Woodward was that one game. I remember when I was in high school at Elk City, you go up, and it's a little bit different. You go up north to Woodward. They had nice facilities, really nice facilities. So that part of it was nice.
Yeah.
It's a short trip, and it's a little different, so it's a nice wrinkle to the schedule.
Yeah, yeah, and I bet Woodward would love to be in back in 4A1 because right now they're in a district that consists of Guymon, and then I believe there's Guthrie and Bishop McGinnis and maybe Carl Albert. I mean, it's a rough district.
Speaking of traveling.
And then there's the travel on top of that, you know. So they would like to – well, we would love to go to Elk and Clinton and Weatherford before we have to go all the way to the city, you know, a little easier to get down – to central western Oklahoma than to central Oklahoma. But so I don't know the date they're going to release that, but that's coming out fairly soon. So that'll be interesting to check out. I would love to have Woodward in our district. I mean, I mean, it's always fun. Boomers and Elks are always fun when they play each other. So I'd loved it.
And the cities themselves are so similar.
Yeah, it is.
Population similar.
Yeah.
The economic base is similar.
Yeah.
The demographics are similar.
Yeah. You know, me and Aaron, we've discovered that we like to eat and we like to, when we go on these road trips, that's one positive with all these road trips this season is we try to find unique places to stop and eat. Not like a McDonald's, no offense to McDonald's, but, you know, like a mom and pop.
Little local flavor.
Yeah. We kind of try to be Guy Fieri and diners, drive-ins, and dives. You're coming live from Elgin, Oklahoma. We're at Boom Buys, you know, and we'll go in some local.
How much hair product do you think he uses?
Oh, my goodness.
How much gel and mousse does he have to put into that quaff?
He can't afford it after his big payday that he got. My goodness. But we try to find local place. So, listen, if you're listening and you know of a good place, tell us. Because we're coming around like our third year together, I believe. I mean, I've been on the broadcast in some form or fashion for about four. Listen, time flies. I can't remember. And last year was a blur anyways, we've discovered that we don't want to go to the same old stuff, you know. Now, sometimes we'll hit up a chain restaurant that we don't have locally. Whataburger comes to mind, right? We don't have Whataburger. We love Whataburger.
It's exotic for us.
Whataburger. It's great. But we found some other places that people have suggested to us. And not one's been amiss. I mean, they have all been. And then there's stuff that we know about. You know, like locally, like over in Clinton, there's a great little place just west of town. Has some great barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
We go there. And we'll probably go there again. But there's other restaurants too. So we love to hear about those suggestions when people tell us, go try this place.
So you're looking for suggestions for
restaurants. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We will always take suggestions. Yeah. It was fun going to Texas last year, going to Pampa. And we found a good place. Anywho, I'm looking forward to football season, which quickly goes into basketball season, ParagonTV.com. And I bet you guys like that. I mean, you have to hit the ground running selling it. Yeah?
We got today's the Oilman's Golf Tournament in Elk City. And then a week from tomorrow is the 87th annual KEC O'Moran Equipment Open.
Right.
So we've been busy selling that. We had the Fishing Derby. It's summer in the old days. When I started working here 20 years ago, we would have lulls.
Right.
We really would. When school was out, I mean, we had our golf tournament, but from then until we'd usually have 6 weeks. Until football started. Now there is no lull.
Nope, yeah.
It is always something. And so.
Well, that's good, right? I mean, one, it makes time. I mean, summers can drag, you know, especially in the sports world when you get between the NBA finals and football, unless you are just a rabid baseball fan. Right now, I'm not having fun with baseball with my Texas Rangers. They're horrible. They haven't won since the All-Star break. Horrible.
And you care. But, I mean, baseball just doesn't have the cachet that it did 30, 40, 50 years ago.
I would – well, and listen, it helps. It helps when your team is winning. It helps. It makes you want to sit down and watch a game and turn it on. And now when I see Rangers are on, I cringe because I know that here comes another loss. I mean, how long? I mean, we talk about the NBA and the Thunder and tanking, and you know, it's so different in baseball compared to basketball. In basketball, you can tank 1 year and be horrible, and all of a sudden you get some good draft picks.
Yeah.
Boom, you're relevant again, which could happen to the Thunder as soon as next season, depending on how the draft happens.
That fascinates me because in football, you've got 11 men. In baseball, you've got 9 guys on the field. But in basketball, with only 5 on the court at one time, it really can be a year.
One player can make all the difference.
Yes.
Look at Giannis. Look what he just did for Milwaukee. You know, they got some pieces around him as the season progressed. They went and made some changes. But, I mean, he it was what? When he was drafted, he just finished up his 6th season, I think?
Something like that.
Okay, his first year, they barely won 20 games, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. But credit Milwaukee sticking with the process of drafting this guy, making it work around him, re-signing him to that major deal just about a year ago.
And smart move, guys.
Kudos to Giannis, too, because he could have said, you know what? I'm going to follow the path of LeBron, of Durant, of everybody that forms these super teams and go win it the easy way. And he said it even after the game 6. He said, I stayed here and I did it. And you don't have to do that. And he said it with some words I can't say on air. But he said, you don't have to do that. That's what me and Aaron were talking about. We love that maybe that sentiment is returning of, I want to be the face of this franchise. They drafted me. I'm going to stay here. We thought we had that with Durant. Turns out we didn't.
Yeah.
And I still go back and blame LeBron when he first went to Miami because he started all this stuff.
He did. Yeah. Let's win here.
Yeah.
Let's win where you are. Let's see if you are good enough, and let's see if you can raise the level of your teammates, and let's see if we can come together as a team, and let's see if we can do it here where we are,
right,
instead of it becoming just a league of all-star teams.
Right, right. I hope that the focus is shifting in the world of the NBA to, you know, so hopefully the Thunder can go and draft somebody and make it that start that own path. Jared Atha taking the show today as Aaron is out. Nathan Brewer will be joining us. He had to step out real quick because he has other responsibilities around here. That guy does a lot around here. I mean, gets here at about 2 in the morning, gets ready for his show in the morning that he does over on KECO with him and his brother. A tradition in Oak City, if you ask me. Does a great job with it. And then he hits the road selling, man. I mean, he does some great stuff for us here at the network. And he's taking time out of his busy schedule to help me out because, like I said, Aaron is out today. And he's out right now. Nathan, that is. But he'll come back and join us. Yesterday, there was a meeting of the Big 12 athletic directors. Not all the athletic directors. The ones that are probably still going to be in the Big 12 if there is a Big 12. The 8 remaining schools outside of OU and Texas. And they released some information from that meeting. It was basically like a virtual meeting, like a Zoom call. I don't think they're actually all in one giant room upset with each other because of conference about to break apart. But according to Dylan Buckingham of KFOR, Oklahoma and Texas are founding members of the Big 12. This is a statement, by the way, that came from the meeting. Oklahoma and Texas are founding members of the Big 12, and we value their traditions and history of success. It's probably the nicest thing they've said. The 8 members strongly desire to retain the current composition, which means the Big 12, which has proven it can compete at the highest levels. There is a recognition that institutions may act in their own self-interest. However, there is an expectation that members adhere to conference bylaws in the enforcement of grant of rights agreements. And they finish up saying this is a time of dramatic change within intercollegiate athletics. That presents both opportunities and challenges, and the Big 12 Conference looks forward to continuing to play a major role in its evolution. Listen, I see that it's a strong, unified front that the remaining 8 schools are showing right here, but I don't think, and I think this is the common sentiment across the nation outside of the Big 12, or maybe some inside the Big 12, and they're just not really making it known, but can we really see the Big 12 survive this? relevant Big 12 survive this. You're not going to have an eight-team conference. That's just not – it's not the 80s anymore. You can't have an eight-team conference. Not with the super conferences that appear to be forming right now, starting with the SEC. You know the ACC is going to follow suit. You know the Pac-12 will. Maybe even the tradition-rich Big Ten. They're going to have to loosen up their admittance laws because they're, you know, very strong academic conference. They're going to have to let some in. So who does the Big 12 get that keeps them relevant, that keeps them to being a major role in today's athletics, in today's college football world? I don't know if there's anybody out there that they can get. Now, BYU is attractive because of the fan base. This was talked about yesterday afternoon on this station, on these airwaves. The fan base of BYU, it'd be a tremendous get. And I think that's the first call that the Big 12 should make if they choose to try to stay together, is to call the BYU and see if they're on board. I think they're more than willing to join a conference. They probably want to look at the Pac-12 because regionally it makes more sense. But if the Big 12 is the first conference to call, it makes it attractive for them. And I believe the BYU Cougars can compete in the Big 12 right now. Absolutely. Outside of Oklahoma, I think BYU can compete with Texas. But that's another on-field discussion we can have. But that's the first call I'd make. So that's 10 or 9. So where do you go for 10? Do you even go for 12? I mean, do you try to get four teams to make it a really, you know, a true Big 12 and go back to two divisions and all that? But just looking at two right now, BYU is the first phone call I'd make. Then who's next? Who's relevant enough to call that's going to make your conference better to keep you competitive in the college football world that we live in right now? I don't know if there's anybody out there that is. You can go and get maybe a Houston, maybe a Cincinnati, maybe a Louisville. But does that really improve the Big 12 outside of after losing Oklahoma and Texas, gaining BYU and one of those teams that I just mentioned? I don't know. And then what about another Power 5 school? Can you poach a Power 5 school from a Big 10, from a Pac-12, from even the ACC? I mean, you got West Virginia over there. Maybe you can get one of those schools to help West Virginia out with the whole travel situation. I don't know if there's a school that's willing to leave either one of those conferences because of the media. You got a lot more eyeballs on the East Coast, the West Coast. You got a lot more eyeballs on the Big Ten network, which I think is marvelously ran. The Pac-12 has a network. The ACC has a network ran by ESPN, obviously SEC. The Big 12 kind of has this network. It's more of a streaming thing only, and I get that's where the world is shifting to, but it always feels like they were kind of behind in the game when it came to having a network for a conference. So as Nathan comes back in here, I'll ask him the same question. You're just a busy guy. I was just bragging on you. We're looking at the Big 12, and not so much that, okay, let's say this is happening, and it's going to happen. It's inevitable. OU and Texas, looks like they're gone. It looks like an announcement could come as soon as Monday, by the way. Let me read a tweet that came from a reporter from the Austin, is it the Austin American Statesman? Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right? Mm-hmm. Kirk Bowles, reporter. He's basically their Barry Trammell.
Okay.
Prominent Big 12 sources tell the American Statesman the Texas OU move to the SEC is almost done. This came at 7:50 this morning, by the way. Okay. Quote, they've been working on this for a minimum of 6 months. And the A&M leadership was left out of discussions and wasn't told about it. End quote. Move could become official in a week. I've heard Monday we could hear an announcement. An official announcement. Starting from Texas, and of course, OU would probably follow suit.
We'll find out sometime down the road how all this got started. Do you think, Jared, was this a Texas thing and they called OU? Was it an OU thing and they called Texas?
Texas will never admit that if it was an OU thing, they'll never admit that OU started this ball rolling. They'll never admit that. That's Texas. Texas is always going to be the one that's going to say, it's us. We drive the ship. We drove the ship at the Big 12 for years. They, even when they're winning only 6-7 games a year, they still think, you know. I my conspiracy theory about me, and by the way, listener, we'll come back to what we're talking about. I'll bring up the speed what I was talking about. But my conspiracy theory in me wants to say that everything kind of mounted up in the on OU, the 11 a.m. kickoffs, which seems like a slap in the face, especially when it's a game like OU Nebraska. You think you'd at least get that at 2:30 or at night. 11 a.m. 11 a.m. 11 a.m. 11 a.m. The fans are livid with it. They're done with it. Mm-hmm. It's almost to the point of normality now. It's like, well, if you play at OU, then get ready for 11 a.m. I think again, conspiracy theory. But the whole horns down thing. Now, why did Nebraska leave the conference? Why did A&M leave the conference?
Why did they leave?
Why did Missouri? Why did Colorado? The one common thing that all of them, now they all had their own interest, felt like better location, it's better for us to go here, it's better for us to go there. But I think the one thing that why all four of those teams left, they're tired of one school basically running this conference, and that was Texas. And they're one school that was always protected, and that was Texas. In some form or fashion, that's how it's always been. Now, OU, they weren't really fed up. Why? Because they just took it to them in the Cotton Bowl. They say, listen, we're fed up with it, but we always beat you, so it doesn't really matter. See?
Okay, so
they did their talking on the field. They did their talking with Big 12 championships, and it didn't, you know. But then I think after the second round, by the way, people forget, there's more than one time the whole horns down thing has come up, especially at Big 12 media days, even before the OU Big 12 championship or OU Texas Big 12 mm-hmm. championship game. So you will get flagged, you know, da da da. I think OU, a giant conspiracy theory, but I think Josie in the higher ups at OU said, you know what, we're done with this. And I don't think the SEC will protect Texas like the Big 12 had protected
Texas.
Well,
they don't need to.
I think the SEC knows you come into our backyard, you come into this arena, it's on. This is NFL. This is the mini NFL.
Okay, so why, considering Texas' primacy in the Big 12, or at least self-imposed primacy, why do they want to leave? Why does Texas want to leave where they're the king of the world to go to the SEC where they're not even going to be close?
I wish I had a sounder. Cha-ching!
Simply, cha-ching, simply cha-ching, the money.
Cha-ching!
Because for OU, it's got to be more than just money for OU. It's the things you mentioned.
Yeah.
It's tired of one school that's not even the top school, but they get to call the shots or at least act like they do. There's that. There's all the early kickoffs. And I think for OU, I mean, let's talk about the actual football side of it. For OU, this has got to improve their recruiting.
Sure does. That's what's crazy. Before this broke earlier, 2 days ago, we were talking about how OU just this last weekend picked up some huge recruits for their 2023 class. Right now, depending on what service you look at, their 2023 class is either number one or number two. And those guys who are on that class, and it's only like three. But they're like, one's a blue chipper, a five-star. The other one's like a four-star running back. You know, the Nelson quarterback is the five-star. And they both said, listen, we want to be the number one recruiting class. And this was before this news came down, okay? Yeah, it's going to bolster recruiting. It's going to help going to Florida and going to the hotbed of the SEC of the South, of Georgia and Alabama, and even back into College Station in South Texas. It's going to help with recruiting, absolutely. But before all this came down, I was saying, I think I said it on air or off air. I'll say it on air again if I did. Imagine if OU, if things go the way they think it's going to go this year. They get the college football playoff. And let's say they actually win it. I mean, you already got this recruiting class. And what happens after a team wins a national title?
Oh, well, everything good happens.
So imagine if they wrap up their last year. By the way, I'll go on record to say I think this is the last year OU plays in the Big 12. I firmly believe that because you don't have a lot of lame duck. Barry Trammell said this yesterday afternoon. You don't have lame duck teams for 2 to 3 years in a conference.
Mm-mm.
Who say, hey, we're going to leave in 3 years. When they say they're going to leave, their bags are packed. Their foot's out the door. Nebraska, we knew when they were leaving. It took them 1 year. A&M, Missouri, Colorado, we knew. This is the last year for them. This is it. There's a farewell song. See ya. I think that's coming for OU and Texas. This is it. last year. But imagine if OU were to win the national title this year or the next. The recruit, I mean, it mirrors what could be happening when, I hate to compare it like this, but as young as Lincoln Riley is,
mm-hmm.
and I think OU is willing to, and this is another, you remember that cha-ching, you go to the SEC, you get a little bit more money, you pay your coach a little more too. Keep Lincoln Riley there. I mean, it sets up for something nice, I think. So this is why it makes a lot of sense. A lot of people say, why would OU want to go to the SEC to risk losing more games? I said this, and it was also said again on this station. I feel good when those guys repeat something I said earlier. I'm like, oh, I was right. It kind of validates what I said. Oh, you can go to the Big 12 or the SEC, pull out a 9-3 year, and still make it to the playoffs as an at large with this new playoff system, and make a run.
It's true.
So it's okay. In the past, you lose two games. Look at last year. They're done.
Right.
There's no chance for them to make.
Because when you lose to a Kansas State or an Iowa State, and Iowa State has done much better in the last few years. Of course, they've been ranked higher and getting more national respectability and credibility. But still, when you're OU and you're losing to Kansas State or an Iowa State, and then 500 miles to the east, you've got maybe an LSU that's lost once or twice, but it was to Georgia and Alabama. Yeah. That's an easy pick for those calling the Final Four. That's just an easy pick.
Yeah. I love the – I was listening – now all I've been listening to, all apologies to our here in-house stations, but I've been listening to a lot of SEC radio.
Just because?
Just because I want to say, what's the reaction? You know, Paul Feinbaum's the guy you want to listen to if you listen to SEC radio. He's like the talking head of mm-hmm. the SEC. Listening yesterday afternoon, of course, he takes callers. He takes some wild, rabid SEC fans, and all of them were like, well, saying the same stuff that, you know, those who outside of the Big 12 are saying, like, why would those two teams want to leave the easy Big 12 to go to the SEC? The main reason's money. Okay. And then the second reason is it's going to bolster everything. Your chances at a national title, if you have a good year. I mean, how many times have we seen an SEC team have a good year? They go and win a national title, and then they fall flat for a few years and fire the coach, Auburn, LSU. I mean, you know, it happens. It happens. But there's always that chance. And this is why the fans stay there, and they're crazy about it, because they know it just takes one solid good year, and they could be good. I mean, they could be a national title team. So a caller called in and said, why would OU want to come here? Because right now they're number one in the Big 12, but I think they'd finish maybe – I don't know, fourth in the SEC with losses to, say, you know, Kentucky and
Kentucky.
Is this what the SEC fan base really thinks? They think that OU and Kentucky are even?
Wouldn't surprise me.
It's crazy.
Those SEC people are a different breed.
They are.
Let me ask you this. Well, it's not really ask, but 2 days ago, you're the one who told me brought this to my attention two days ago.
Yeah.
And you told me something interesting about Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Because you've got the winners and you got the losers in all this. And you may have said this on the air, forgive me, but talk to me, talk to our audience, what you said about Texas A&M, how they were pulling ahead of Texas in recruiting.
Yeah, I feel like they were because of them being in the SEC. They had that over Texas. In their state, in the state of Texas, if it became down to going to a player, if the Longhorns were going after the same player that A&M is going to, now I don't know this for a fact. I'm just assuming this is how it's happening. I pay attention to recruiting when it comes to OU and OSU, but not so much when it comes to Texas or mm-hmm. Texas A&M. But I just have to assume that, and I gotta stay with me here. One player that both schools are going after. You go to that one kid and go, listen, we play in the SEC if you're the Aggies. And I think that over, what's their 10th year in them in the league, it has shifted. It's clear. It's clear. Look where Texas has been and A&M has been. A&M, the trajectory is going up with their recruiting. They're supposed to be really good this year. Supposed to be really good. I mean, you look at their schedule, they can win every game except Alabama. Could.
Mm-hmm.
It's the SEC. You go on the road, it's different. I get it. You go to Auburn at night, Auburn could be a 4-win team when you go there, but they could still beat you. But my point is, the recruits, they say, well, I play in the SEC. I can go play in Tuscaloosa. I can go down to Florida. I can go play in Gainesville. It's a better selling point than say, well, if you're Austin or if you're Texas and go, well, we go to Ames this year.
Manhattan, Ames, ooh.
Lawrence. Yeah. My point is, yeah, it helps recruiting. And
so now.
And now think about it in this state. And I want to circle back to what I was talking about when we came out of the break. OSU and OU, there's times when they recruiting wars right here in the state for the state mm-hmm. kids, for the in-state kids. And it's just a matter of, well, they both play in the Big 12. You know, where they fit best. Sometimes the tipping point can be OU, I think, OU going to some kids and saying, we're in the SEC. SEC puts kids in the NFL. Those NFL scouts look at him, go, look at that competition they go up against every week. He's ready. And now that's why I want to come back to what I was talking about out of the break. What does the Big 12 do now? Eight schools, they had that meeting yesterday. Do you know this? The athletic directors, the eight athletic directors that are firmly in the Big 12. Obviously, Doug Castiglione, and I don't know who the athletic director at Texas is. Was Dodds, it's not anymore. They weren't part of it. This was like a Zoom meeting or a mm-hmm. virtual thing, I think. And they basically came out and said, you know, it's not a threat. I'll repeat it. This is what they said. There is a recognition that institutions may act in their own self-interest. However, there is an expectation that members adhere to conference bylaws and the enforcement of grant of rights agreements. So they're kind of, that was a subtle reminder to OU and Texas, like, there are laws here. There are contracts here. But if that's true, what the Austin American Statesman said, that this has been in work, not just days, months, 6 months, this has been in works, you'd think OU and Texas were like, okay, how do we get wiggle out of this?
Mm-hmm. So they've been working on it, talking to lawyers.
Yeah. So what does the Big 12 do? Do they go and get two schools and make it back to a 10-team league? Or do they need to face reality and say, listen, the age of the super conference, the dawn of the age of the super conference is coming. We're about to see it. We're about to see a 16-team super conference in the SEC. You know the Pac-12 and the Big 10 and the ACC, they're going to scramble to try to do something similar. So do they go, maybe, let's get back to 12. Let's go back to 12. Who do they get?
This morning at 5:45. I'm pulling up to 66 Sweet Spot at Elk City to get the donuts, and I'm listening to the Sports Animal, the Morning Animals, and they're talking about all this, and they referred back to something Barry Trammell had said, I think, yesterday.
Yeah.
They said, go get, if you're the Big 12, you go get BYU and maybe a Cincinnati. But Trammell claims that BYU is this huge draw.
Yeah.
And I understand that you've got what is essentially a religious school.
Yeah.
It's sort of the Notre Dame phenomenon.
Yeah.
Smaller
yeah.
version, but still.
Yeah.
BYU, apparently, they play good ball, mm-hmm. good football anyway.
I think they'd come in and compete right now outside of OU and Texas.
And they've got a national following
mm-hmm.
because of what the school is. So you raise a really interesting question. Now, if you're the Big 12 apparatus, of course, the individual schools, they're looking out for their own interests. But the Big 12 apparatus, if they want to maintain, they're trying to convince those eight that remain, hey, stick around. You guys are still good. And we're going to look at. You got to start floating names, I think.
Yeah.
BYU's one of those. Cincinnati's another one I've heard of. You brought up Houston the other day.
Yeah.
Go after some of these bigger schools. So the Houston. Question is, do the individual schools that remain, the eight that remain, the big eight, the eight that remain, do they think they're better off sticking with some kind of a Big 12? Or do they think they're better off, OSU, Tech, go to the Pac-12? If you're Iowa State, you want to go to the Big Ten and play with your in-state big brother in the same conference? That's the question. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know either. And I don't think the Big 12, the Bob Bowlesby staff, they just want to say, okay, let's just shutter the doors and call it quits. They're going to do everything in their power to keep this conference together. And you know, the BYU thing, no one has mentioned it. And you're right. That's what everyone's mentioning, that it does draw a big following. So, you know, you retain some numbers as far as what you've lost from OU and Texas. Not, obviously, not all the numbers, but you know, they don't play on Sunday. You cannot play a game on Sunday, so the Big 12 would have to work around BYU and their scheduling right there. Of course, there's not a lot of college football right. played on Sunday, but you get into the basketball season, the baseball season, the softball season, etc. But there's that. But do you truly get better if you go and get a Houston or a Cincinnati or a Louisville? That's the question I asked her out of the break. Do you truly look better, or you just look like you're the American Athletic Conference?
Yeah, are you the MAC?
Because they also said in this statement, this is a time of dramatic change within intercollegiate athletics that presents both opportunities and challenges, and the Big 12 Conference looks forward to continuing to play a major role in its evolution. They've also said they look to continue to compete at the highest level. I don't think you do if you get schools like that. I'm just being blunt.
What you're losing, the two biggest brands, the two biggest names in the conference, in Texas and OU, you're losing them. Mm-hmm. You're not going to replace them with equal talent or brands. No. You can't.
No, it's hard. You can't. You're not replacing the two blue bloods.
No.
And if you think you're going to go to another power, now that as another question, could you go poach a team from one of the other Power Five conferences? Could you entice maybe Colorado to come back? Or maybe like an Indiana, you know, a team like that, could you get them to come out? I don't think they would. I think they're very happy where they're at. Indiana's been the Big Ten for ages. And in Colorado, I think they love their new home in the Pac-12. And a big reason why, going back 10 years ago, what was the big deal about conference realignment? It was said a lot on this station yesterday afternoon. It was the TV deals. It was the channels. You got a Pac-12 network, a Big Ten network, an ACC network, an SEC network. You got a Big 12 network, but it's really just this junky, clanky streaming mm-hmm. thing. It's not something you'll find on Dish Direct or even a streaming service per se. It's not a 24-hour thing. It's like more like on demand, right? Big 12, they always seem like they were kind of dragging their feet in that regard. So you're not gonna. It's gonna be hard to poach schools away. You know, Big 12 is. At the end of the day, this is it. I think Big 12's done. And I hope that Oklahoma State, and I also stick with them because they are our in-state school. We got a lot of great listeners who are fans of Oklahoma State. I hope they find a conference that continues their success, if that makes sense.
Well, because
they have always been on the cusp, and they mm-hmm. they're always going to compete. Even when they're written off, they always have a really good season, right? I hope they find I think more than likely it's going to be a conference like the Pac-12, and I hate that. I hate that because of you got to go to the West. They're going to be the
scheduling West, gets
they're
weird.
They're going to be the West Virginia of the Pac-12. The timing's going to be weird. I mean, Oklahoma State fans, are you ready for constant 9:30 kickoffs on Saturday night? Because you got to go to USC and UCLA and Washington State and Oregon State. Are you ready for that?
Probably not. Now, you are right about their competitive nature. I read this in the Oklahoman this morning. Let's say they went to the Pac-12. If OSU goes to the Pac-12, they're probably the third-ranked team.
Yeah,
Oregon and USC are about it.
Yeah.
And then you got Oklahoma State, so they would be competing – immediately, I think. They would be competing in the Pac-12 immediately.
Yeah, I do. I want that for the Cowboys.
To me, it's going to be interesting to watch. You've got different dynamics at play. You've got the individual schools looking out for their own interest, and then you've got the league looking out for its interest. And so how much backdoor stuff is there going to be between Big 12 officials and the OSU AD and the Texas Tech AD? Because every school is going to look out for their own interest. The Big 12 is going to look out for its interest. And at a time like this, I wonder about the ACC. Because you look over here, there's Clemson.
Yeah.
Does it matter to them? Does their conference matter to them? Are they in the ultimate catbird seat? Because they're perennially now.
Right.
They're going to enter top five usually. Preseason, mm-hmm. they're going to be top five. They're going to be vying for a national title. And the regular season, they do play a lot of cupcakes. I mean, Boston College?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Virginia Tech hasn't been much in recent memory?
For some reason, Syracuse has been there, Kansas State.
This is bizarre.
Yeah, Syracuse always gives them trouble.
That's bizarre.
You know, like Kansas State always gives OU trouble.
Does it matter to Dabo Swinney? Does it matter to him about the conference?
I think they're in good I think they like where they're at. I don't think they have any desire to move, but I think they have a desire to. All the other conferences, Pac-12, Big Ten, ACC, they're. I think they're clamoring right now. What schools do we want from the Big 12? What makes us a better brand? I think ACC, it just makes sense to get West Virginia.
Right.
You know, but they probably want Kansas too because of the basketball. Think about Duke, Kansas, North Carolina. Florida State was good last year in basketball. Miami's okay. Think about that basketball league.
Of course, yeah, because of the time of the year, because frankly, football is a bigger deal, but it's also the time of the year. We're thinking primarily about football.
Sure, football drives the ship, but.
But when basketball rolls around, boy, you're right. Getting Kansas in the same league with Duke and UNC.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there could be like a bidding war between, say, Oklahoma State. Do we want to go east? Do we want to be in the ACC? Yeah, I kind of, now that I say it out loud, I think they're a better fit in the ACC because of football and basketball. I think they can compete with the North Carolinas, the Miamis. They just beat Miami in a bowl game.
Yeah, what if you're Oklahoma State basketball and you're getting to take on Duke?
Yeah,
and wouldn't UNC.
Wouldn't Oklahoma State love? It depends. This could be a silver lining to all this thing for Oklahoma State. You don't have to make the calls to the other conferences. Let them call you. Do you want to go West Coast or East Coast? Do you want to go to Florida or California? What suits you better, Oklahoma State? I guarantee you. So maybe the Big 12 dissolving is a good thing for schools like Oklahoma State.
I mean, how would you like to have the Tar Heels basketball team coming to Gallagher, Iowa?
Oh, my goodness. Duke? Yeah. You know they love that. Jared Atha filling in for Aaron today. Nathan Brewer filling in for Jared today.
Hey!
Real quick, there's more breaking news. Not really breaking news. ESPN just kind of piggybacking on what the Austin American statement had said. But did you know OU and Texas would have to pay $76 million apiece to buy out, so there's your out clause, to buy out the remainder of the grant of media rights agreement.
Because that
goes through 2025. So that was a big question for me was how do you get out of that agreement? Well, buy it out.
So they both knew that and they still think it's worth it.
Absolutely, because think about the money they're going to make when they get to the SEC.
Yeah.
The profit sharing that happens in that league and all that stuff.
So
okay with this move.
I've got I know you want to do the baseball thing, but I want to ask you a question. Does the SEC, and I don't know how much this has been discussed, does the SEC really want OU in Texas?
Absolutely.
Simply because of the brand, because they're such big names nationally?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that for them, more the merrier?
Yeah.
If you're a blue chipper, more the merrier?
Yeah, this is a win-win. Think about a conference with Alabama, Texas, and Oklahoma.
Good night. Between Alabama and Oklahoma.
You could arguably put Auburn in that conversation. They're kind of up there.
So now SC is Notre
Dame. Florida, LSU, come on.
Is Notre Dame still number one in all-time national championships?
I don't believe so.
Or did Alabama leapfrog them?
I think so.
It's Notre Dame, Alabama, I think, one and two, and then Oklahoma three.
I know Oklahoma State claims one. Sorry, I had to throw that shot out there.
Ouch!
Okay, let's go to breaking baseball news.
Okay.
Did you see, now you probably heard of the Cleveland Indians. They're dropping the Indians. They're dropping the logo.
I'm surprised it took this long.
I know. They've had that logo since 1915, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the Titanic was still floating. Now, they've announced a new logo, a new mascot.
A new name.
The Cleveland Guardians.
Oh, that sounds
the Guardians
exciting.
You know what immediately comes to mind when I hear about the Guardians?
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Thank you! Peter Quill and company? Absolutely.
Isn't it funny how people 50, 60, 70 years ago didn't know to be offended?
I know.
We didn't know to be offended by stuff until about the last decade or so.
You know, I've never brought this to air, and I think I will. It's been a few years. Way back, 2017-18 season, that's when we started Paragon TV, by the way. Picked up all these schools and started broadcasting them.
17, 18?
Yeah. I jumped on with, they needed somebody to do Hammond.
Yeah.
So I did Hammond basketball for that season. And I was glad to do it. Great people over there. And I had a college buddy. He's from Hammond. He went back home to Hammond. He lives in Hammond, raising a wonderful family. He said, I'll help you with stats and stuff. He did not want to put the mic on. I would love to put a mic on this guy because he is funny. We have a great time. But we had a great time that season. He went with me, kept my stats. I mean, he kept stats. I'm talking points, rebounds, steals, assist. It was in depth. And maybe that helped that he didn't have the mic on because he could just focus on right. that. It was awesome to have him because he was going to the games anyways, you know. Everybody in Hammond goes to all the games. So Rotor, right. you know, they always got small school basketball. We were in a town. I won't name who. I don't want to sound like I'm being mean or throw them under the bus or anything. But we were in a community that had a Native American mascot.
Okay.
And listen, that encompasses a lot out here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let me put this out there. My buddy, he is Native American. Okay. And we were at this town and. One of the high school kids at the opposing school, who was white, put on the full headdress and everything.
Yeah.
And between games, went out to midcourt and did a little war dance.
Okay.
You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
I turned to my buddy and I said, I got to ask, are you offended by that? Are you offended? I wasn't trying to put him in a corner or put him on the spot. I was curious. How do you feel about that? He said, it doesn't offend me. It doesn't bother me. What it does, it tells me they want to be like me. So he said, in a weird way, it makes me proud. So they want to be like us. I think it's cool that that's their mascot because that reflects how we are as a people.
Interesting take.
But he's not a guy. Now, some I can see where someone can be offended. I get it. Everybody has an opinion. It's called free will. I'm all about free will. But that was his take on it. He's like, they want to be like me. I'm flattered. I found that kind of inspiring.
That is interesting.
Wow, that's an interesting way to look at the world. Instead of being offended, you're like, they just want to be like me. You know, you see some logos like this, and some are, you know, like Florida State.
Yeah.
Seminoles. I guess the Seminole Nation said, we allow you to use that because it honors us. And I forget the mascot's name that rides out and throws the flaming spear. And they said that's a sign of respect to them. And some take it that way and some don't. But it was an interesting take. And it was very, this is the guy who I had a lot of fun with in college, and he's suddenly matured. Right in front of my eyes.
So the Cleveland Indians are on their way to becoming the Cleveland Guardians?
The Cleveland Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't keep up with stuff like you do.
Even the logo kind of looks like the Guardians of the Galaxy.
The Washington football team, are they?
They have not announced yet, and they said it might be another year. They might go.
What are they waiting on?
I don't know. They got a mess on their hands with different allegations from their front office.
So they're okay. They got other things.
They're
mind.
Like, you know what? The mascot thing is kind of on the back burner right now.
Least of our worries right now.
Let's just stick with Washington football team and the maroon and gold colors, and we'll worry about a name later. Hey, we got to go. We're out of time. Thank you for being on with me. I appreciate it.
Happy to do it.
Makes the hour fly by. Aaron will be back on Monday. Thanks, everybody, for tuning on in. Don't forget, you can get this at podcast form shortly after the show. Follow us on iTunes and follow us on Facebook and get there, too. We got to go. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.